No, no, I told you. Sell, sell, sell.
Oh, hi, Leo Laporte here. Does this phone make my head look small? Before you buy, it's time to watch Before You Buy.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
Before You Buy is brought to you by Stamps.com. Buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package with your own computer and printer for a $110 bonus offer, including $55 free postage. Visit Stamps.com and use the offer code Before You Buy. Before You Buy, Leo Laporte here. This is the show where the entire Twit staff gets to review products, the best new hottest products. We've got some great ones for you, including an ultra mobile PC, the world's biggest phone, a hot Windows phone, and headphones that use bone conduction. It's all coming up today on Before You Buy. But let's kick things off with Iyaz Akhtar. He's become our ultra mobile PC reviewer. Remember, he didn't like the Lenovo. But now he's got his hands on this. This is the Asus ZenBook UX31. What does he think? Let's take a look.
I'm Iyaz Akhtar with Twit, and I've got the Asus ZenBook UX31. And, of course, it's one of those ultrabooks, so it's super thin. It's super light. And let's take a look at something about this. Now, this is the ZenBook, so it's got a balance of design features that make you go, wow, and then what? So let's take a look first on the top here. You can see with the back, that nice concentric circle design that you see on a lot of Asus products, including the Transformer Prime. So it's a really unique look. On the sides, we can take a look at the ports. We have a USB port, headphone jack. Always nice to have an SD card slot. You take out the optical drive in this thing, because this is an ultrabook, it's nice to have an extra way to get content into here. A USB 3.0 port, a VGA port, and a HDMI. These are mini ports. You need little adapters for that. And of course, the power supply. Let's open this up and show you. So it's so thin that it's kind of hard to open. I gotta say that. I mean, it's super thin, but this little lip, not so great. We got a 13.3-inch display, 1600 by 900 resolution. I really like that. Some pretty good viewing angles. The keyboard. Okay, so this is an ultrabook, so it's super thin. What's the downside of the keyboard? Well, the travel's not so great. So it's a little shallow, but you can get used to that over time. Trackpad. Very large, handles multi-touch pretty well, and no accidental input issues. I had a huge issue with the Lenovo IdeaPad, and this didn't happen with the ZenBook. Now, on the what side on the design, let's take a look. The speaker here has some little script on it. I'm not sure why exactly Asus thought, you know, I got this idea. We're going to put some cursive. It actually says UX31 Series Ultra Slim. I don't know why that's on here. You got some stickers. And you see this design, this nice, beautiful, brushed look? They're parallel. Now, this is a really minor quibble because I'm a design snob. These stickers aren't parallel, and I can't unsee that now. So, come on. Lenovo did an interesting thing with their Ultrabook. They actually laser etched it on the bottom so you didn't have that ugly sticker look. Like a lot of notebooks, Asus comes with some preloaded software, and it works okay. There's like a little photo booth kind of application, and that's okay. One of the weirder things about the on-screen display, again, this is one of those, why does it look like this? I'm going to raise the volume, and you'll see there's three different elements. There's a speaker, a pie chart, and this weird ripple effect. It's really over the top and kind of distracting. And now you can hear the audio because there's an error happening. Not sure why that's happening. There's also some widgets so you can take a look at your battery life. Those have been quite accurate. When I turn up the brightness a lot, you can see immediately, well, the battery life starts dying pretty fast. The build quality on the ZenBook UX31 is phenomenal. This thing is sturdy. You're not worried about it. It doesn't have any flex to it. You're not worried. It's so thin, but it's sturdy. Okay, this is not flexing at all. Well, let's face it, you're not going to be staring at stickers or worried about script. You're going to be using this thing probably to access the internet, maybe look at videos and things like that. So how did it actually perform? This thing's got a Core i5 in it, so it's pretty snappy. Now, I threw things at it like 1080p movie trailers. Now, the display can't display full 1080p, but the processor had no problem showing off a nice trailer for the Avengers. On top of that, I was multitasking and doing lots of those crazy kind of IaaS things. Basically, I tried to kill this thing as fast as I could, and it took about 3 hours to kill this thing if you have the brightness way up, the volume way up. So you probably can eke out something more like 4 to 5 hours if you're being somewhat judicious when it comes to this. Windows was snappy. There was no weirdness when it came to the actual operating system. The software on here worked okay. A gripe about the camera, by the way. I did some minor league video editing. I don't know if people video edit anymore, if they bother with that.
If you're watching this video, there's a good chance that I'm probably dead.
Or doing a review. I'm using the ZenBook's internal camera there, so that's what this video quality looks like. You can see it's in the 4:3 aspect ratio, and the frame rate's a little all right.
The frame rate on the built-in webcam was pretty pathetic. So I got to say that was kind of a downer, because this is a really nice product. You would hope that they had a better camera in here. Let's do a quick summary on this thing. Pros and cons of the ZenBook UX31. Pros, it's got a really sturdy form factor. The display is actually really nice. The viewing angles are great. The resolution, 1600 by 900, that's pretty solid. When it comes to the design, again, it's hard to beat this. We got that wedge shape, which again can be somewhat of a downer because it's kind of hard to open. Like I said, that, so that's kind of a con there. There's some weird style issues with this. These are minor quibbles. So we have some inconsistent UI stuff with that horribly overdone overlays when it came to brightness and volumes, but that's not going to actually impact the way you use the notebook. One more thing on the pro side, I really like the fact that there's an SD card slot on this, even though it doesn't hold the SD card completely. So the SD card slot is about half width. You'll see the SD card go in, and that's as far as it goes. So don't bump this on anything, because it'll break. The keyboard is not backlit, so you can either love that or hate that. A lot of people want to have that these days. So when it comes to the ASUS ZenBook UX31, is it a try, buy, or bub-buy? I gotta say, for $1099, it's actually a buy. It's sturdy, the performance is good, and it's got a lot of functionality that I need in a notebook. So this could be your main machine, because $1099 is hard to beat. I'm Ayaz Akhtar, and this has been the ASUS ZenBook UX31.
You know, actually, it's funny because Ayaz did not like the Lenovo. He had a lot of issues with it, including a trackpad that he couldn't turn off when he was typing. This one is so pretty and metal. I think a lot of people are looking at this as the king of the ultra mobile PCs. But I got to tell you one thing that I don't know. Did Ayaz mention the fact that this really is a fingerprint magnet, and it's pretty hard to keep beautiful and shiny? So while I like brushed metal, I'm not sure that this is the best look for a long-term wear. Nevertheless, if you want a MacBook Air but want to run Windows, this is a great choice for you. Coming up now, we're going to take a look at a Windows phone. Brian Burnett is one of our more recent employees. He's a great guy who does a lot of different things for us. What do you do, Brian?
Editing.
He edits, he says. I've never seen him edit ever, but I believe him. So we decided to give him the Samsung Focus S. This is the newest Windows 7.5 Mango-based Windows phone. And see what he thought. We couldn't get anybody else to review it, to be honest. Brian?
Hi, I'm Brian Burnett from Twit. I'm coming to you from Edit Station 6, as I am one of the editors here, and here to show you the Samsung Focus S, Windows phone on AT&T. And the first thing you might notice about this phone that strikes you is the AMOLED screen. It's 4.3 inches, and it's just absolutely gorgeous. I had no problem seeing this screen in broad daylight, and the colors are really stunning. The blacks are super black. You can't even hardly tell where the bevel meets the screen unless you hold it at certain angles. So this phone is really light, which I ended up liking a lot. To some people that might feel kind of cheap, but what that translates into is just a nice experience holding the phone up, using it. You don't really notice it in your pocket. One thing that I really like about Windows phones, and this phone especially, is the camera button itself. It's got a halfway push that will focus, and then you push all the way down just like your typical point and shoot and take the picture, and it's really quick. I haven't had a phone that's done this before, but just to to be able to use that sort of function and not have to tap the screen to focus is really, really nice when you want to just take a quick snapshot and you want to make sure it's in focus. If you're taking pictures in low light and use the flash, it's kind of worthless. It doesn't really ever look good. But fortunately, it does decent in low light. Not great, but what else can you expect from a camera phone?
So to give you an idea of the video, the Samsung Focus S records at 720, and we're going to take a quick behind-the-scenes look at This Week in Computer Hardware. Patrick Norton's right over there. You can see him. Chad, red-haired Chad. Look at that guy.
One other con about this phone is it doesn't have expandable memory slot. So this phone comes with 16 gigs, which isn't bad. But if you were hoping to use your micro SD card for this phone, there's no expansion slot for that. So the specs of the 1.4 gigahertz processor and the 512 megabytes of RAM and this beautiful screen also means that it's not a power hog. I was seeing a day and a half to 2 days of battery life from this phone with pretty decent use, taking photos, phone calls, downloading apps. And if you're on AT&T and you have access to 4G, it's very snappy. I was watching Twit videos in a few seconds. I was pulling up YouTube videos in no time. It's just overall really snappy and very relatively quick with the 4G. If you look close at the bottom of the phone, you'll see it has three capacitive buttons, a back button, the Windows home button, and the Bing search button on the right. I found they can be a little touchy when using the phone, but overall, not too bad. So on the left of the phone is the volume rocker button. It's very nice. It's got a nice up and down feel to it. And then on the directly over to the right is the power button. So when you're holding this phone with one hand and you go to try and turn up or turn down the volume, you might turn off the phone, which was happening to me quite a lot. It might just be something that you just takes time to get used to, but I, for one, didn't really like that. So if you're looking for a really nice Windows phone, this is a complete package, and I would say buy it. If you're on the fence about on Android or iOS, then try it. Windows has a lot to offer. This phone in general is just really nice. And if you're a diehard Android or iOS guy, then don't buy, but you probably already knew that. So this has been my review of the Samsung Focus S. I'm Brian Burnett from Editing Station 6 on twit.tv. Thanks for watching. See you again on Before You Buy.
So, Brian, you like the phone.
Yeah, it's really snappy.
Now, what do you use as a day in, day out phone?
I have an older Droid HTC Incredible.
So a lot of people say this is a good phone for people who want a first-time smartphone.
Yeah.
Going from Android, you think this is a move somebody might want to make?
Yeah, it's, if you're kind of on the fence, you want to try something different from Android, a new UI. The Windows Phone stuff is really sharp, and this phone doesn't have really impressive specs. It's only got, I think it was
a... It's a single core, slow processor, gigahertz. There are much faster phones out there, but the nice thing about Windows Mobile, it's pretty snappy, right?
It's really smooth, and then the thing about this phone is that screen is just... Really
Super AMOLED
nice.
Is great.
And the battery lasts a long time. So it's kind of expensive. It's $200 with a subscription.
You don't have to do the whole review. We just saw it.
But that, you know what it made me
it
do?
It beats this piece of crap.
Well, thank you. But you know what?
Look at this. Is funny. He actually, this is an Android skin that you could put on here. He turned his Android phone into a phony Windows Mobile phone. All right, Brian. Back to
All right,
hey,
thanks,
Bob. I mean to ask you, do you know where that stamps scale is? The USB scale. You keep stealing that. That's all right. Don't worry about it. Actually, people who do the mailing here at Twit love stamps.com. Let me tell you a little bit about stamps.com, and then we'll continue on. In fact, I've got a review of the world's biggest phone. It's called I call it a phablet, a phone tablet. And you know what? Well, I won't tell you how I like it, but I do. First, let's talk about Stamps.com. This is a company I've actually used for many years. Stamps.com, the idea of Stamps.com is you can go to the Stamps.com site, you can download the software on Windows or use the site on Mac, and actually print official U.S. postage with your existing computer and your existing printer. You don't need special ink. You don't need a postage meter. All you need is Stamps.com, and there's a lot of reasons to use it. First of all, You can get discounts that you don't get in the post office from stamps.com. It's 15% off priority mail, 21% off express mail. You never have to go to the post office. Now, you know, postage rates are going up. You don't have to buy new stamps. You have packages to mail, no problem. It's great for us because we send a lot. We send all this stuff back after we're done. And it's just so much easier with stamps.com. We just package it up and the mail carrier comes and gets it on their regular route, or you can even schedule a free pickup. The post office loves stamps.com. It lets them save money, lets you save money. Everybody's happy. I want you to try stamps.com. I've got a special no-risk trial offer for you right now. It's a $110 bonus offer. Go to the website right there, stamps.com. Now, see, it says special $80 value. No. Don't click that. Up above that is a funny-looking microphone. Click that, and once you get there, use the promo code before you buy. One word, BEFOREYOUBUY. And you'll get a $110 bonus offer. That includes that digital scale that I love. See how much? We gave you $30. Boom, boom, just like that. That digital scale that I love so much that Brian keeps stealing from me. The $55 worth of free postage, the complete kit, and 1 month of stamps.com. All you have to use is the offer code before you buy. I am a fan of stamps.com. You're going to love it, especially if you're an eBay seller or an Amazon seller. It makes it so much easier. You always have exactly the right postage, so you don't waste any money. No guessing with that scale. Actually, if you use QuickBooks, you can even print postage and addresses for invoices, sales orders, and any transaction right out of QuickBooks. Stamps.com. Special offer, $110 bonus offer. Go to stamps.com. Use the offer code before you bye. All right, we're going to get back to work. Oh, you brought me the scale.
Sorry,
give it back. It's mine. It's mine, the USB scale. All right, a couple of short reviews right now. Remember in the 70s, maybe you don't, but I remember very well in Esquire magazine, I think it was, they had an ad for a pair of headphones that you would hang around your neck. They call it the bone phone, B-O-N-E-F-O-N-E. And you'd hang around the neck. And the idea was it didn't have speakers. It didn't go in your ears so you could run, you could hear cars or whatever. But through bone conductance, you would hear the music. Now, someone in our chat room says that he had them and he liked them. Maybe that's the same answer here with these. These are called the Aftershocks. It's kind of the latest bone phone. These are bone conducting headphones. Tony Wang has a review. Tony?
I'm Tony Wang for Twit.tv, and today I'm reviewing the Aftershock Sports headphones. And what's special about these headphones is that they're actually bone conducting. This is not the newest innovation in headphone technology, but it is relatively new for consumer products. And I will show you how this works. Basically, you get these open-ear headphones, and they sit right above and in front of your ear canal. It will transfer all the sound through basically your skull into your head. What this product is promising is that if you're a runner or you play any sports, any sort of outdoor sports, you could wear these and you can listen to anything you want and you can still hear your surrounding. So it comes with a lithium-ion rechargeable battery here. It takes 3 hours to recharge over USB and it will last 15 hours. And you have your power button here as well as your volume control here. So you can clip it on your jacket while you're running. You probably worry about forgetting to turn on or off your unit, but if it doesn't get any audio through the 3.5mm jack for 15 minutes or longer, it will automatically turn off. And that is true in my test. The headphones are very comfortable. I was able to wear them for a long period of time, maybe 4 or 5 hours at work, and I don't have any issues with it. And I have a relatively large head. I wear about 7.5 for hat sizes. I will do a demo now and show you how the bone conducting technology works.
The design of this, if you're into design specs of the hardware, looks much better than the Kindle Fire.
How much is the Nook Color?
$249.
This is $199.
$50.
The price.
These orange dots are actually made out of rubber. The audio is a little muffled since it is coming through your head instead of your ear canal. For $60, I would definitely recommend these headphones for anybody who runs on a regular basis and they're worried about their safety, because honestly, if you're blasting music through your regular in-ear earbuds, you can't hear anything at all. I'm Tony Wayne for Twit.tv, and this is the Aftershock Sports Headphones.
All right, now it's my turn to review something. And this is something Tony Wang turned me on to. In fact, I didn't think I was going to get to do the review. I thought Tony would get to, but he's very kindly let me do a review of this. This is the Samsung Galaxy Note, and it's coming out February 19th on AT&T. And yes, your eyes don't deceive you. Compare it to the size of an iPhone or any normal size phone. This is the biggest phone I've ever seen, 5.3-inch WXVGA screen. And let me just show you a little bit. I mean, this is a beautiful screen. This is from Samsung. So it's their Super AMOLED screen. Just gorgeous color. In fact, so much so that they treat this almost like a television set, a widescreen television set. If you go to the display settings on here, there's a screen mode. And you actually can set the screen dynamic, standard, or movie. That gives you some idea of how Samsung sees this phone. It is 1280 by 800. That means it is an HD display. So if you run Netflix on this thing, it looks gorgeous. I've been spending a lot of time watching movies. It's also great for reading books. Let me open the Amazon Kindle app, and you'll see it's about the size, really, of a small paperback. Very easy to read on here. It's the first phone that I would actually consider reading extensive, lengthy things. I've set the text size pretty big, but you probably wouldn't set it quite so big. Maybe make it down here. Harder for you to read, but this is about the right size. Now, the phone you're looking at right now is not the same phone that AT&T will sell. There's a little bit of a difference in the AT&T Galaxy Note. For one thing, this one has a physical home button in the middle. The AT&T version will have the capacitance buttons for menu, home, and back, as traditional on Android phones in the U.S. I kind of like this physical button, but this is the unlocked GSM version, and there's a couple of notes on that. One, yeah, it would work on T-Mobile and AT&T. Both are GSM carriers, but it doesn't have all the frequencies for T-Mobile data, so you can only use it 2G edge data on T-Mobile. I do have it now running on an AT&T SIM, which is nice. It gives me not 4G LTE, but it does give me the HSPA Plus that AT&T has. So it works quite nicely with a couple of mods on the AT&T network. Same, roughly the same price. AT&T is going to sell the AT&T U.S. version for $300 with a new two-year contract. I spent about $650 for this, unlocked, unsubsidized. The other difference you don't see and you probably won't notice is inside the AT&T version is using a Qualcomm Snapdragon processor at 1.5 gigahertz. The international unlocked version that this is a 1.4 gigahertz Exynos processor from Samsung. A lot of Samsung people say that they prefer the Exynos processor to the Qualcomm. I bet you couldn't tell the difference. Beautiful screen, great resolution. It's a little big. And you know, at first you might say this is a bad idea. Samsung includes, that's right, a stylus with this phone. They say, don't call it a stylus. It's the S Pen. There's also some dedicated S Pen applications. I'll pull up one that I really like. That's a Zen paintbrush application. I'll be honest. I think for a lot of people, they'll just leave the stylus in the phone. Let me start with a fresh design on here. It's kind of neat because it's pressure sensitive, and I can make thick or I can make thin brush strokes. See that? It's kind of beautiful. Very soothing. Some fun things you can do with the pen. Again, you know, you probably won't use it that much, but it does do screenshots. If you press the button, the pen has a button, believe it or not. Press the button and hold it on the screen. It'll do a screenshot. But then what's kind of cool is it opens the screenshot in an editing program, and you can do things like crop it or annotate it. I can circle that and then send it off. It has a share button also, so I can email it off to people. I don't know how often you're going to use this. I guess if you were going to use a map program and you wanted to send somebody a picture of a map or something like that, you could. They call it the Note. In fact, when they were pushing this at CES this year, they had what they called a Galaxy Note Atelier. They had artists in little berets and smocks drawing with the Note. You can certainly draw on it. I just like the size of it for one simple reason. I like it that it's easy to read and really easy to type. If you've sometimes I have, especially on the iPhone, trouble typing. These keys are a lot bigger. I mean, this is a 5.3-inch screen, so it's certainly a lot easier to type with this. This is swipe. The phone does come with swipe, or you can use the standard Samsung keyboard. And when you do that, you'll notice something interesting. There's so much room on this keyboard that they actually add a number row at the top, which is not traditional on an Android phone, but it does make it a lot easier to type and enter numbers and so forth. Easy to read, easy to look at, easy on the eyes. This is a beautiful Super AMOLED screen. Pentile, yes, but a nice looking, I think a very nice looking Pentile screen. Very snappy. You might ask about battery life. It's a little disappointing, I have to admit. Yes, there's a much bigger battery in here, 2,700 milliamp hours. That's a lot bigger than the battery in the iPhone, which is about, I think, 1,700 milliamp hours. However, because of the bigger screen, and maybe because I use the phone more because I like to look at it more, I find that I'm getting anywhere from 8 to 10 hours. But it is easy to open up the back. This is like many Android phones. Not like the Razr, but like many Samsung phones. You just pop out the back. This is a third-party battery that I purchased from Hyperion. They're cheap, about $29. I bought three. I literally have three different batteries. Charge two while I'm not using them, while I'm using the phone, and then I can pop them in. So that's a very simple and easy way to extend battery life. It's kind of a cheesy plastic back, but it snaps on and off pretty easily. I like the idea that I can change batteries and extend the battery life on this. Not much worse battery life. In fact, I'd say comparable to other Android phones. I was a little disappointed that it wasn't a lot better. The number one reason to get it, it feels great in your hand. It's light. It's thin. It's big, so the screen's easy to read. It is a phablet, a phone and a tablet in one. And does this really look? Yeah, it looks pretty dumb. Most of the time, I just use earpiece anyway, so it doesn't really matter. That's the Samsung Galaxy Note. It's available in an unlocked GSM version worldwide. It's been out for a few months worldwide. AT&T version comes out February 19th, $300 with contract. Pros and cons. The pros, the big screen, the gorgeous screen. The pen, I think, is adds some functionality for people who like to use a pen. The cons, the battery life isn't great, and it is expensive, $300. And if you buy the GSM version, you'll have to use it with AT&T, or you won't get a high-speed data network. So all in all, considering the pros and cons, at least for me, I'd say it's a definite buy. That's about it, right? You can contact us by writing to Before You Buy. Our email address is byb@twit.tv. We don't really do the show live. We kind of do a little bit of a live version on Thursdays, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, but you don't see the whole show. I encourage you to download it, to subscribe at twit.tv or through iTunes or whatever you use to get podcasts. And don't forget, we do have a YouTube channel for all the Twit videos, youtube.com/twit, and the full-length reviews of all these products will be available there as well. Thanks for joining us. Thanks to our great staff, to Ayaz Akhtar, Tony Wang, Greg Burnett. I'm sorry, Brian, his brother. Greg also works here. They're twins. It's hard to tell the difference. No, they're not. Brian Burnett. And Jason Howell for their reviews this week. Thanks to Nicole Lee, our producer. And I will see you next time. Remember to watch Before You Buy.